The Leach Report Radio Network is on the air with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. Join in with the rest of Big Blue Nation to get the latest insights and opinions on your Kentucky Wildcats from an all-star lineup of guests. If you have a question for Tom or one of our guests, tweet him to @LeachReport or email to LeachReport@gmail.com. And you can call toll-free anywhere across the Commonwealth of Kentucky at 877-904-1080. Now, here's Tom.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is our Tuesday edition of the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington, as Big Blue Nation continues to bask in the glow of Kentucky football's victory over the Florida Gators on Saturday night. This will have some legs, this particular celebration. And Kentucky's got Murray State as the first of three straight home games coming up. So I would imagine the phone in the ticket office was a little busier yesterday. And I would imagine the tailgating lots will be a little fuller, a little earlier this weekend, and especially the following weekend when Mississippi State, nationally ranked, rolls into town. So we will talk about all of that today. We're going to lead off with Bill Ransdell, who I left him a voicemail yesterday when I was trying to get a hold of him. I said, you may not realize this, but did you know you were the last quarterback that had beaten Florida? Because he hears it every, or has heard it every year. Now he didn't have to be that guy anymore. You like having records that live, but you don't like those kind of labels or distinctions that live on as a player, for your alma mater, especially. And so he is thrilled that he is no longer the last quarterback to beat Kentucky. We'll talk with him about that. Larry Vaught, always with us on Tuesdays. And Evan Daniels from 24/7 Sports and other spots. A lot of basketball recruiting stuff going on with in-home visits and campus visits. And we'll talk with Evan, get caught up on all of that as it pertains to the Wildcats. So that's our guest lineup, and it's always presented by Sleep Outfitters. Let's get right to the Wildcat news of the day. A service of Cardinal Point Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. Very happy Mark Stoops yesterday at the news conference and on the radio show. I like that he emphasized to his team that it was all about just doing their jobs and that it didn't have to be perfect. You would hear people say in advance of this game, Kentucky's got to be perfect. Well, number one, you're never going to be perfect in sports, or rarely anyway. I guess you can have the perfect game in baseball, but it is rare that you are error-free in a game. So what Kentucky had to do, and my sense of this going in was that last year, and I'll talk with Larry a little bit about this when he joins us a little later, that if you were a Kentucky player last year, there were a lot of people that were picking you. I remember on the game day show, there were some of the guys that picked Kentucky to beat Florida. It felt like it was going to happen. Felt like it was the right time. Kentucky had been close a couple of previous times, and they had a quarterback returning, and they'd gone to a bowl game and had a good season in 2016, and they were getting the Gators at home. And maybe all of that built up to a little too much pressure sometimes you can feel. This time, nobody's picking Kentucky. They're being almost mocked in some cases. And they're on the road, and they're a double-digit underdog. And they had to live with a year of all of that disappointment from the previous Florida game. So instead of being a little overeager or the adrenaline flowing, I think they were more mad and focused going into this game, and it showed in how they played, just with a tremendous grit, to use Cash Daniels' word, and a toughness. And they took the fight to the Gators, led by their offensive line, and they scored a convincing win. And so now, saw Tony Barnhart, note where Tony Barnhart said Kentucky's the second best team in the East right now. Tony's going to join us on the show on Friday. Mark Stoops also yesterday made it a point to single out the fans who came out to the airport. We were walking out of the charter terminal, it was close to 3:30. I think the plane actually landed around 3:10, 3:15, and there must have been 50 or 60 fans there cheering as the team came by. So that was really cool, and Coach Stoops wanted those fans to know that it was much appreciated. Several awards for Wildcats. Josh Allen, SEC Defensive Player of the Week. Munchie Stallings, SEC Offensive Lineman of the Week. Kentucky was named National Team of the Week for the Football Writers Association. Also, Kirk Herbstreit tweeted out yesterday that Kentucky was his number one team of the week. Kentucky-Mississippi State game time's been set for 7 o'clock a week from this Saturday. The network on which the game will be televised is still to be determined. As far as injuries, Quinn Bohanna has an ankle issue. They say he's day-to-day. Didn't play much on Saturday. Kentucky basketball's pro day is set for October 7th at Rupp. SEC Network will televise it again. Tom Hart, Seth Greenberg, and Jimmy Dykes will be the crew for that. Tom's going to be on the show with us tomorrow. A couple of NBA notes for the Cats. Jerry West, who's with the Clippers, talking about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, said, quote, he's going to be a tremendous player, and, quote, he's got instincts that set him apart from other players. So that's strong stuff from Jerry West, who has been one of the best evaluators in the NBA for many, many years. And Devin Booker needs hand surgery, going to be out about 6 weeks. Getting to a break. Bill Ransdell will join us when we come back. Larry Vaught a little later, then Evan Daniels. It's the Leach Report Radio Network, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington.
This is where the Big Blue Nation gathers. It's Talk Radio 1080 and the Leach Report, followed by Kentucky Sports Radio.
Welcome back into the Leach Report for Tuesday, and we are joined by a gentleman who, I guess you could say, lost a label on Saturday night. He's no longer the last quarterback for Kentucky to beat the Florida Gators. That's now Terry Wilson. Bill Ransdell joins us, and I know that I just saw so many reactions on social media from former players. What was it like for you watching that game, having been the last guy to beat the Gators?
You know, Tom, it's a great label first to lose. So
I bet.
I'll tell you that. It's been a long time coming, and you know as well as anybody how close and so many different games through the years that Kentucky's been right there, but just not been able to get it done at the end. So coming down the stretch, you know, they started out really well. I thought, you know, playing defense, and they deferred, and I love the way they got after it and scored, and so it was a good feeling from the start. And you know, they seemed very obviously into the game and what was going on, the game plan, and obviously they executed extremely well. And you know, I got to tell you, I mean, I think anybody would tell you to get a little nervous when they put that drive together. Florida did. I think it was late in the third or first part of the fourth. I can't remember now, but you know, you're sitting there going, "All right, fellas, let's go." You know, and it was just awesome the way it finished. I mean, and I'm so happy, quite frankly, that the fumble, the intercept, you know, the extra points counted. I'm just so tickled that was there, and that probably sounds bad, but I was so happy for the guys that extra score counted.
Yeah, it's made it even more decisive because they were the better team last year as well as this year.
No question about it. Last year, I mean, we're sitting there, and it just, you know, we're still in shock, I think. They played extremely well up and down the field, and next thing you know, a play or two here and there, and, you know, things kind of slip away. But, you know, we've been watching football a long time, and that's what happens, and not this year, though. They definitely got out there and did what they had to do, and they closed. Got it done.
Heard Mark Stoops say he had 250 messages after the game. I'm guessing you probably had quite a few former teammates from 86 or wherever, right?
Oh, yeah. My phone was blowing up. It started, you know, the fourth quarter, you know, we're going to get this. It's going to happen. And when it ended, it went berserk. It took me probably an hour, close to an hour and a half just to kind of respond to everybody. And it was great. I mean, everybody's watching. Everybody wants this thing. You know, it's not a record, you know. It's not a record to be proud of, and nobody that, you know, I played with, I just happened to get the calls and because of my position, but nobody's been proud of that. I mean, I can't tell you all the guys we had on our Florida team, just like, you know, they have now, that, you know, are just sitting there ecstatic. I mean, I even had a call, you know, yesterday afternoon from, you remember Cam Jacobs, the linebacker from Florida. Oh, and he's just sitting there going, "Billy, what's up? Man? Can you believe it? Wasn't that awesome?" I mean, he was just beside himself, you know, and everybody's so excited. He said, I got out my Kentucky football jersey. It's about 30 years old. I was able to wear it around down here in Florida again.
Oh, that's great.
It was good stuff. He said, I need a new one. I said, we need to talk to Tom.
See, we'll get Kalinowski to hook him up.
Yeah, something, yeah. So, but, yeah, he's excited. You know, just people are just really ecstatic. And guys that played, I mean, you've talked to everybody before. I mean, we follow everybody, you know, from before we played, we watched. And those, you know, we watch it afterwards. And everybody takes a great pride in Kentucky football. That's all there is to it.
Tell me about your impressions of Terry Wilson, how he played in this game, and what the upside might be.
Well, I think the upside is what we've seen when things are going, you know, his way. I think Terry's, you know, figuring it out. I think the speed is, you know, it looked like, especially the first week, and I think the speed of the game is, you know, it's got to slow down for him a little bit. And he can make some plays. He's got a strong arm. We saw in practice, and we saw in the game the other night. You know, he's got great weapons around him. And when you run for 300 yards against Florida, I think it's saying something for your O-line, you know, and your offense as a whole. And I think Terry's got, you know, a lot of upside. You know, when you start looking at the turnovers right out of the gate, and, you know, those are things he's figuring out. You know, you get four or five turnovers and in six quarters, and then, you know, people can sit there and say, well, you know, the beauty is those turnovers really, they outplayed them offensively, and our defense, that's, you know, they stood up and bowed their necks. I mean, Central Michigan, that's the only points they got. And, you know, the defense the other night was able to sit there and make some things happen and bow their necks and make some things happen for the offense. So I think he's going to settle in, Tom, in my opinion. He seemed like he got more comfortable the other night as the game went on. You know, I think he's got his upside is really going to be limited to some degree by what they're getting.
You played with some great running backs in your time. At one point, you had George Adams, Mark Logan, and Mark Higgs together in the backfield that all played in the NFL. So you know what good running backs look like. Tell me about what impresses you most about Benny Snell.
Oh, he's a beast. You know, I just love his effort, to say the least. But he just has no quit in him, and he's not going to be denied. He's not going to be taken. I've seen him, I think, one time in 3 years get taken down by one guy, and it was just by happenstance. And he's got really good vision. You know, he's got some wiggle to give him a chance, and he's got some speed to get moving. You know, I've heard people say, oh, he doesn't have that breakaway. You know what? I mean, what he's doing right now and has been doing the last 2 years, and this being his third coming on, I don't know that I've seen a guy do that in several years with the consistency that Benny has shown. He's a team guy. He's a high-intensity guy. You can see it on his face. And when he comes, he's coming to work, you know, and he wants to carry the mail. And that's, you know, Benny strikes me as – he gets better as the game goes on. He wants the ball, and he wants to keep going, and that's what keeps his, you know, keeps his motor running.
Great running back, great O-line, solid defense coming up with big plays. Your old coach would have loved the way Kentucky won this game.
I can't tell you how many times some of my own teammates and I, from, you know, older during my, you know, when I was a freshman and when the younger ones, that we've giggled because, you know, when you get a defensive coach like Coach Stoops is, and we all think about Coach Claiborne, and he was our defensive guy, and, you know, he wants to win games and let you, you know, stretch that defense from 20 to 20, and, you know, he was going to be opportunistic with his defense and be able to sit there and have some turnovers, and, you know, he wanted our offense to run the football. I mean, you know, the three running backs you just named, I mean, we're going to run the football, you know, if we, you know, first and foremost, and try to run it down people's throat and old school football, so. It's been fun to watch, and, you know, they've got some talent, and they can let it throw. And, you know, we've seen the flashes that I think Coach Grand has brought, that he can throw in there and give a quarterback to, you know, get on a 2 minute, you know, no huddle and pick up the tempo and the pace real quick. And we've got some guys that can run that. And so that's exciting in of itself. So, it's interesting, you know. I love seeing it, and you know, there's nobody more excited than myself, and I can tell you a bunch of my teammates.
I bet that's so true, Bill. I appreciate you giving us a little time.
You bet, Tom. Anytime, and go Cats.
And it's Bill Ransdell, It's the Tuesday edition of the Leach Report. We are served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. And Larry Vaught is coming up when we return here on the Leach Report.
This is the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can interact with the show via Twitter at Leach Report. Now, here's Tom.
It's 26 after the top of the hours. We welcome in Larry Vaught. I imagine everybody over in Danville still talking about the football game, right, Larry?
Absolutely, Tom. It's all it's been the buzz and probably will be for quite a while, be my guess.
Yes, I would think so. This one will have some legs. This was a game that people have been obviously waiting for too long. I was saying earlier, I'll see if you get this take, because you talk to a lot of these players, that maybe last year there was it felt like it was the time for it to happen, and Kentucky was coming off a bowl, and people were even picking Kentucky, and this year it was 180 degrees different, and the players had had we had a soundbite from Darius West where he talked about living with that nightmare for a year, and I think maybe they there was a great sense of anticipation, maybe that morphed into a little pressure last year, and this year they were just kind of almost angry and focused going into this game.
Could be. I don't know, Tom, and I think you and I both would have been. Once, if last year hadn't happened, we would have definitely picked Kentucky to win that game this year, because we felt going into the season they were going to be better, and I felt like they would be a better team than Florida. But just still, or for myself, I still had to see them actually do it, I think, to believe it. But I don't think there's any fluke to it, because for the last 3 or 4 years, other than one game, Kentucky's been right there with Florida, or maybe better than Florida. They just hadn't got the win, and this time they got the win without playing a perfect game. Maybe you got a break or two officiating-wise, which doesn't normally seem to happen for Kentucky. But when they had to make plays, they made them, and it was just a terrific win for them. And now you've set yourself up going into these next few weeks that you could really position yourself for a special, special season.
I mean, these guys talk about, wanting to – play in Atlanta for the SEC championship and play in bigger bowls and all those things. And this win now, as you said, it sets the table. Now they have to go out and keep doing it. But, if you take care of business this Saturday and then you beat a ranked team, you'll be ranked at that point. You might even get a little Heisman buzz for Benny Snell. A lot of things, fun things start to happen.
Yeah, they certainly do. That game of Mississippi State ought to be a special, special atmosphere at Kroger Field. And I'm just kind of glad to see them, hopefully, if this week goes away, I think it should be, that for a change, Kentucky should get to play Mississippi State when maybe it'll be rested and fresh is what it can be 3 weeks into the season. Because it seems like a lot of times when Kentucky's run up against Mississippi State, that Kentucky has really been worn down going into the game, and they've just been beat physically by Mississippi State. I think this year, the way things are going to set up, that shouldn't be the case.
Very true. We'll continue talking about this with Larry Vaught when we come right back. It's the Leach Report Radio Network. We're served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington.
Find out more about the voice of the Cats and get great coverage of the Big Blue at TomLeachKY.com.
Talk with Larry Vaught after the Wildcats' big win down at the Swamp. And one of the neat stories after the game was the presentation of a game ball to John Schlarman, the offensive line coach for the Wildcats. His guys were beyond outstanding in the way that they dominated the Gators. I was talking to John down on the field before the game. Larry, we were waiting to – they have the Gator walk, and so the Kentucky players and coaches were held up from going out onto the field at their normal time. And so I was talking to John, and we were reminiscing about when they came down there and when he was a player, and it was when Spurrier really had it rolling, and Kentucky just got crushed a couple of years. And he was talking about they had opened the, I think he said 94, they'd opened the season with Louisville and won. And he said, then they came down to the Swamp, and his phrase was, I looked across the line of scrimmage and realized the price of poker went up, and he ticked off about four guys that went on to star in the NFL that were on the other side of the defensive line that he was having to block that night down in the swamp. And, you know, with those memories and everything else that certainly he's going through in his life right now, he and his family, that was just a really cool moment after the game.
It certainly was, and John, just a terrific, terrific guy. And for Kentucky to be able to run for over 300 yards against Florida that way and have two guys rush for over 100 yards, and Benny Snell was just dominating for most of the game. And then when you throw in the fact they had lost Landon Young before the season started, and then you add in the fact of what John is going through with his cancer treatment, it's just almost the kind of story you just can't believe. It's just too good to be true. And I know I had a chance last week to talk with John, finally a little bit one-on-one, just asking him, man, how could you do these chemotherapy treatments and still be out here? Because I saw firsthand what they did to my wife when she would take them. Now, granted, he's a few years younger than her when she was taking hers, but he finally admitted that sometimes for like that first 48 hours, it zapped him pretty good. And I thought, yeah, I can believe that from what I've seen. But then he said, you know, I get up and I feel good, and it's so lucky to have Coach Stoops that lets me rest when I need to, and why wouldn't I want to get back out here, and it's what I do. And, I mean, it's just kind of inspiring. And I think it goes back, I'm thinking more and more what something Neil Brown told me about a week and a half ago, that he thought this Kentucky team with having the adversity with John Schlarman and Josh Pascal, that sometimes a team that you think could be really good, and there's just something, a little edge like that, can turn them in from really good to really special. And he thought that might be a chance that Kentucky could do that this year because of the way Mark Stoops was handling everything with it. And maybe Neil's going to be right, because I think these guys, certainly on both sides of the ball, have a little bit of an extra edge for what they are playing for this year. And I think that makes a big, big difference for them. I think what Mark did after the game, they're giving the game balls to John Schlarman and Josh Pascal, or announced that's what he was doing. That was a really deserved move and a really inspirational move from Kentucky. And I just don't know how you could not be pulling for them if you're anywhere around and you're any kind of neutral fan, because to see what John is going through and the way he's handling it, it's just remarkable. Because if you look at him and you watch him, you sure couldn't tell anything's going on, can you, Tom?
No, not at all. And there was a really nice tweet after the game from Coach Bill Curry, who was John's coach when Coach Schlarman was a player here at Kentucky. And Coach Curry tweeted out how, you know, he's happy for UK football. I forget the exact tweet, but especially for John Schlarman, and was saluting all those who were supporting John. It was just really a nice move.
Well, that gives me a little chance for a little shameless plug here, but if
I thought it
you go
might.
To LEX18.com today to see, when I talked with John, one of the things he said that he learned from Bill Curry, that one of the things that Bill Curry preached to his players, that when you get between the lines, that everything else goes away and you just can focus on football. And that, as John said at the time, he told him at that time, academics, girlfriends, everything else doesn't matter. When you get between those lines, you focus on football and the job you've got to do there. And John said that's kind of the motto he's using right now for when he's dealing with what he is. When he gets to football, he can just concentrate on football and put everything else out of his mind for a while, and how that's really been good for him. And that's one of the things he learned from Coach Curry that stuck with him. So I thought about that at the time when I saw the tweet from Bill after the game, that he had a much more lasting impact on John Schlarman than probably what he even realized.
Yeah, good point. It was kind of cool to see a lot of former player reaction unfold on social media. And I know Coach Stoops heard from a lot of former players just in recent years here, but I mean, so many of them. We just had Bill Ransdell on. He was talking about hearing from Cam Jacobs, who put on his Kentucky jersey of 30 years old Kentucky jersey and started wearing it around Florida.
That is pretty cool. I know Jacob Tammy here was really excited, and I was with David Hopewell, who was on the Kentucky teams that beat Florida in 76 and 77. I was with him some before the game and talked to him, and boy, of course, he's been waiting every year for Kentucky to beat Florida again, because he said it wasn't that hard. You know, he did it, so Hope has a little trouble understanding all this, but he was really, really proud. I know he thinks this is going to be the start of much bigger things for Kentucky football, and I just hope he's right.
Yeah, he had to especially enjoy it being a former O-lineman, the way
that's
that they
exactly,
won.
Exactly right. I think he really appreciates the way that Kentucky's running the football. And of course, obviously, he's a huge Benny Snell fan, but he also thinks on his part that A.J. Rose gives them that extra second dimension that's really going to come in handy as the season goes along. And I know A.J. didn't play much Saturday night, but you just couldn't take the ball away from Benny with the way Benny was running. I mean, it wasn't A.J. I didn't think didn't play well five or six carries he got, but when the game got going on, you just could not take Benny out. I mean, I wouldn't have been the one to take him out to start with, but then two, giving the ball to Benny was just like a guarantee you're going to get yards and he's going to take care of it, so you just couldn't take him out of the game.
Yeah, with everything it was at stake beyond just anytime you get an SEC road win, it's a nice big win, but with all the baggage that accompanied this one, you could understand them playing it the way that they did. But I think as the season unfolds, you're going to see the Kentucky offense really have some dramatic growth and expansion in guys, with guys like, you know, A.J. Rose, what Terry Wilson will be able to do, and then the guys in the passing game.
Yeah, and I tell you, I am so, I think, both impressed and happy just as an old guy. I can't help but be happy to watch what David Bouvier has been able to do. And for what that young man went through for 4 years of barely playing and hanging in and not giving up. And even as his mother said, she became convinced he wasn't ever going to get to play. She knew how good he was, but she just didn't think it was ever going to happen. And I can see why, after 4 years, when you catch one pass and you only play in six games total and they're all on special teams. Yes, and now back-to-back games, he's got a touchdown pass. He was a starter for the Kentucky team that beat Florida. It's really pretty remarkable. I mean, and he looks terrific out there. And it's really a nice story, too, that's, I wouldn't say kind of overlooked right now, but it's really been terrific what he's been able to do.
No, you're right about that. And you've got a story on that at the LAX18.com site as well. So you can go catch up on those stories. Also at VaultsViews.com, a lot of coverage as well. And Larry always joins us on Tuesdays. Thank you, sir.
Just nice to talk to you once, Tom, after a Kentucky win over Florida.
Let's make this a regular occurrence.
I would be for that.
Yes, indeed. Larry Vaught with us here on the Leach Report. We're served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. Coming up, we'll chat with Evan Daniels from 24/7 Sports about some of these recruiting visits for Cal and in-home and guys that are coming to campus, et cetera. It's coming up next on the Leach Report.
Can't get to a radio? You can listen to us live on the web at talkradio1080.com. Now, back to the show.
We welcome in Evan Daniels from 24/7 Sports, also the FS1 College Basketball Insider, and you can hear him on the Sidelines podcast on iTunes. And a lot going on for basketball recruiting, Evan, and we'll start, obviously, with Kentucky. James Wiseman's visit, what have you heard about how it went?
Well, it's still early. You know, I talked to his mother briefly yesterday, Donzelay Artis, but it was more to inform me that they're going to have an in-home visit with Vanderbilt later in this week. I hope to have some sort of update from James. My understanding is that visit went well, but I don't have any details. And but you know how these official visits go for the most part. They're fairly hard to screw up.
Yeah, it's you got to work to do that usually. Is the consensus from those in your business that it's still going to come down to Kentucky and Memphis for him?
I think that's what most think. Obviously, he started things off with the Kentucky official visit. I think Kentucky was really the first school in this whole deal to really prioritize him. And if we're recapping it, you know, obviously when Penny, his former high school coach, went to Memphis, I think that shifted a lot of things. You know, from my conversations with his mother, they're pretty adamant that they want to be recruited, and it's not just a two-horse race. He's going to take an official visit to Kansas. He's going to take an official visit to Vanderbilt and Florida State. All these schools are coming in for in-home visits this week. There's still a little to play out. I think she made it pretty clear to me a couple weeks ago that they were not in a hurry and that they were going to wait this deal out and make a decision in the spring. So I think there's still, at least based on what she told me, a ways to go.
Kentucky's been mentioned in connection with Matthew Hurt for a while. We'll talk about him in a second. But first, one of his AAU teammates has popped on the Kentucky radar recently, and Najee got an offer from Kentucky?
Yeah, Zeke Najee, this is the kid that actually plays with Matt Hurt in AAU. Had a really, really good summer. Good size, length, can step out on the floor and shoot the ball really well from mid-range. He competes on the glass. He'll protect the rim. This is a kid that really emerged, I guess, really starting in the spring. And he's a top 40 prospect now. And, look, I think Kentucky is trying to prepare for losing a lot of their current post players, like a Nick Richards, P.J. Washington, Reed Travis, and possibly even E.J. Montgomery. And if that's the case, then they've got to fill those spots with some bigs. And obviously they targeted James Wiseman and Vernon Carey. But I think what we're seeing recently is new names pop up, like a Zeke Najee, like a Aiden Ighihan, an Oscar Shibui. I think I just butchered that name. And maybe even Isaiah Stewart. So I think they're starting to expand the post players that they're recruiting.
What would you guess the list looks like if they have them, if they were to prioritize them? Wiseman at the top, I would guess, right?
Yeah, I think Wiseman and Carey are 1A, 1B. And after that, those other four names that I just mentioned,
take whoever you
could
get.
In the same category. You could put it in the exact same category. So the truth is, I think I have Isaiah Stewart ranked considerably higher than those other guys. He's at, I think, 7 overall, but those other guys are all ranked in the top 35. And the truth is, Oscar, kid from West Virginia, for a couple years in college, he may be the most productive guy out of anyone we're talking about at the college level. Now, he's not the best NBA prospect, but from a production standpoint, the energy he brings, the way he rebounds. So each of these guys bring a little something different. But over, 3-4 year span, the Oscar kid, he could be as productive as anyone we're discussing.
You got to look at the latest freshman class, an early look at them in game action. What did you think about what you saw from the play in the Bahamas?
Oh, Tom, I was actually in Europe during that, so I didn't see much. I saw a couple, I saw some highlights, and I obviously read up on it a little. Sounds like Tyler Hero played extremely well, and honestly, Tom, I think he is just the type of guy that Kentucky needed on their team last year, and I think he's going to play a big role for them. And a guy that didn't play in the Bahamas, E.J. Montgomery, I've heard quite a few good things about how he's played and progressing on campus. So he didn't even play in the Bahamas. So when you throw that guy in the mix, I think you're looking at one of John Calipari's most well-balanced teams. It's not a team that's full of top three draft picks, but it's a team full of really good players, really good depth, good versatility. I think the makeup of the roster is as good of a makeup as Calipari's had since he's been at Kentucky.
Yeah, starting really with the time when Zion Williamson, surprisingly to many, committed to Duke when Kentucky was going down to the wire there. The perception is from that point on, something changed and Kentucky's been tearing it up in recruiting. Do you think anything changed, or was it just some circumstances fell right? What's your read on how, because Kentucky's had a nice little run since then?
I don't think anything necessarily changed. I think they were building for that run, Tom. Obviously they wanted Zion Williamson. They didn't get it. But they had been working E.J. Montgomery. They had been all over Ashton Hagans. They had been all over Tyrese Maxey. It was the timing on everything was more coincidence than anything. E.J. is the guy that wasn't in a hurry to make any type of choice, and he waited that deal out. Ashton Hagans was debating on reclassifying, and he was originally a 2019 member. So I don't think anything changed. I think that the timing was a coincidence, but I think the Kentucky coaching staff put themselves in a position, and they just happened to reap the rewards in a pretty small time span.
Kentucky recently announced another staff promotion or addition. A guy who's already on the staff is going to take over a recruiting coordinator role. We're going to see more of those kinds of positions. Is it kind of a do you see a I don't know what the right word is, a change in terms of just structure of recruiting efforts?
I think it's possible. You know, obviously you're referring to Brady Kennedy getting promoted to, I think they called it recruiting analyst, so I guess Brady and I now have the same title. but I think it was a way, my guess would be it was a way to bring somebody else on staff on a full-time basis. And I think with recruiting, too, there's a lot that goes into it behind the scenes that maybe fans don't necessarily see, and whether it be, you know, making graphics for recruits or just little stuff like that. And I think that you're seeing in athletic departments and coaching staffs is more effort in those type of areas. And if you look on Twitter and Instagram, the kids love these type of just cool little graphics. And, you know, I'm sure Brady's doing way more than that. But yeah, I think it's certainly, you know, a role that we're seeing pop up in athletic departments.
Evan, appreciate the time as always.
Hey, have a great one, Tom. Thanks, man.
24/7 Sports, FS1 College Basketball Insider, and also on iTunes. You can find the Sidelines podcast and a lot of great stuff with Evan Daniels. It's the Leach Report Radio Network. We're served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington, Hamburg, and the Palomar Center. And it's a great breakfast, brunch, and lunch from a place that's locally owned and operated. They make everything from scratch. We'll be right back. Tonight, a slice of Wildcat history. A couple of birthdays. Mark Pope celebrating a birthday today. And this was also the day that the legendary Bear Bryant, one-time UK coach, was born. This day, 1971, one of my first memories, maybe my very first memory, Kentucky football. Listening to the season opener from down at Clemson, they kick off to Doug Coder, and he runs it back for a touchdown. Kentucky won the game 13-10, and it's the last time Kentucky started the season with a kickoff run back for a touchdown, and Doug Coder was the man who did it. This is the 17th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks, and we always... are somber a bit on this day, remembering those who were lost. Game 3 of the World Series out in Arizona started with this. Ray Charles, America the Beautiful.
Oh, beautiful. Oh, heroes too.
Man, I wish we had time to listen to the whole thing, but very moving moment that was. And then the next game was when President Bush threw a strike on the first pitch. That'll do it for us on the Leach Report. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Leach Report. Make sure you check out the podcast page at TomLeachKY.com whenever you miss a show. And be sure to follow the Leach Report Facebook page. If you have a question for Tom, email it to LeachReport@gmail.com. See you next time, right here on the Leach Report Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Leach Report. Join us every weekday morning at 9 for your daily dose of Wildcat news and views with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. Right here on Talk Radio 1080 WKJK Louisville and iHeart.